Hey, go ahead and grab a seat. Listen, welcome back to many of you who are back on campus for the very first time since, I guess, last March. So welcome. It is awesome to be together. We can applaud those that are back this morning, first time on campus. Welcome those of you who are watching online. We are so, so glad to be able to gather together just to worship God like we've just done, but also to just open our hearts, our minds, our ears to the Word of God. And so we've said something to Him. We love you, God. And now we want to listen to what He has to say to us. We're in this sermon series, Questioning God. And anytime you start asking folks, hey, what questions do you have about God? Questions about the end times always rise up there to the top, right? And whenever we think about the end times, and a lot of times we don't because we just want to ignore the subject altogether, right? But if we do think about the end times, what's going through your mind right now? End times. You're likely thinking about tribulation, mark of the beast, Armageddon, right? And you're thinking, okay, wait a minute. Isn't there a rapture? And is it going to be pre-tribulation or post-tribulation, right? And just so you know, as I always remind you, if God gives me a vote, I'm voting for pre-trib. But just in case, I'm always preparing for post-trib, right? Just preparing for the worst. And then you talk about end times. The question always comes up, okay, when is Jesus coming back? When's He coming? And then what's going to happen right before He comes? What's going to happen right after He comes? I mean, end time questions, those always rise to the top. And here's the thing that I've noticed. Anytime the subject of end times comes up, most of us, Christians and non-Christians alike, dread the end times. We don't want to think about it. Don't want to talk about it. Can't figure it out. It seems really, really bad. And so we just want to put it out of our mind. And the other question that most of us have about the end times or the reaction is, first, we dread it. But most of us wonder, could these really be the last days? I mean, the more things kind of spiral out of control, we have worldwide pandemics. I mean, a lot of us are thinking, wow, could these actually be the last days? So let me tell you where we're going in this sermon right up front. I want you to understand. We are not going to spend our time speculating about what we don't know. Instead, what we are going to do is clarify some of the things that we do know. And when it comes to the end times, one thing we know, Jesus is coming soon. That is the declaration of the Word of God. Would you just say that with me? Whether you believe it or not, I just want to just get that kind of cemented into our mind. That is one thing that we know based on the authority of God's Word. Would you say, Jesus is coming soon with me? Let's say it together. Jesus is coming soon. We know that. Do you realize Jesus declared those very words? I mean, Jesus, in the very last words recorded, Jesus' very last words that were recorded by John on the Isle of Patmos, and here is the declaration from Jesus' own lips. I am coming soon. And by the way, John's response on the Isle of Patmos, it wasn't one of fear. It wasn't one of dread. It wasn't one of foreboding. It wasn't one of ignoring. Oh, Jesus, let's just don't talk about that. John's response to the declaration, I am coming soon. Here's his response. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. It was a response of anticipation. Now, here's the thing that I want you to get. You and I, if we really understand the end times, if we really get our arms around the significance of the imminent return of Jesus, Instead of fearing the return, fearing the end times, dreading the end times, far from it, we will begin to pray with John, come, Lord Jesus. We will begin to anticipate the return of Jesus Christ. And so that's, boy, by the time you walk out of here today, if you are actually anticipating the second coming of Jesus Christ, this will have been a phenomenal message, okay? Just so you know, because that is the goal of this message. And by the way, it wasn't just Jesus who said, I'm coming again. Peter also got in on the act. One of the three who were closest to Jesus in his earthly ministry, here's what Peter declared. The end of all things is at hand. Do you believe that this morning? Yes or no? Listen to what James, the half-brother of Jesus, declared. The coming of the Lord is at hand. Now, a couple of questions come to mind when we hear the words of Jesus, the words of Peter, the words of James. First question is this: why the delay? I mean, let's be honest. The elephant in the room is that there have been 2,000 years that have passed since Jesus walked this earth, since Jesus came the first time, since Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father. So why the delay? Was Jesus wrong? Peter wrong? James wrong? Were they mistaken? Did they simply lie to us? No. See, when you think about why the delay, you need to think in terms of time frame versus a date on the calendar. Here's what one person wrote. We've been living in the last days for almost 2,000 years. Let me read that again. We've been living in the last days for how long? Almost 2,000 years. We are in the period of time in which Jesus will return and bring about the restoration of all things. You've got to understand, when the Bible talks about the end times, it is talking about that period of time between when Jesus came the first time and the period of time when Jesus shall come the second time. Those are the last days. That is the end times. And it's in that time frame that Jesus Christ can return at any moment. And so we ask the question, as Jesus declares, I am coming soon, then 2,000 years later, why the delay? And the second question that we tend to ask is, how should we respond? The end times, Jesus coming again. What is the Christ follower's response that God desires to see in our heart and mind? Well, Peter gives us some great insights, and you'll find his words in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And I'm going to ask you, if you would you stand with me and let's just read God's word together, and hopefully it'll be right here on the screen. Let's read it together. This is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. Now, you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. Amen. God bless you. And go ahead and grab a seat. Man, I love that screen. I love that we can see the scriptures. My wife commented earlier, I don't even need my glasses. I have contacts on, but I feel like I wouldn't need mine either. What does Peter say? How should we respond? He goes, well, let me tell you one thing. Here's how you should not respond. Okay, Peter, how should we not respond? He said, don't scoff. You ever heard haters hate, players play? Peter goes, well, let me tell you something, scoffers scoff. Hate is going to hate and scoffers are going to scoff. That's just the way it is. He said, listen to me, don't scoff, but don't be surprised when you are surrounded by people who do. The truth is, we all know people who just roll their eyes at the thought that these are the last days, and that Jesus is coming again, that Jesus is going to restore all things unto himself. Scoffers are going to scoff. What's the point? The point is, don't wait until all of your friends at school have decided, you know what, it makes sense that the one who created the heavens and the earth shall return and reclaim his creation and restore his creation unto himself, and he shall reign as King of kings and Lord of lords over all of his creation. And so maybe we should repent of our sins, and maybe we should follow him faithfully as our Lord and our Savior and our God. Don't wait until all of your friends stop scoffing and embrace the second coming before you actually anticipate the second coming of Jesus Christ. Don't wait until Hollywood says, you know, on second thought, maybe the hedonistic lifestyle that we've been portraying on the screen is actually out of line with the reality that there is a God who created, that God is coming again, and he said that he's coming again soon. So on second thought, we're encouraging all people everywhere to repent. And so now what we're going to do is we're going to portray in movies and television stories the need to repent and follow Jesus. Don't wait until Hollywood comes around before you start anticipating the second coming of Jesus Christ. Peter said, the end is at hand. James said, the end is at hand. And Jesus said, I am coming soon. Listen to what he says in verse 4. We read verses 1 through 3. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? Why do scoffers scoff? Peter said, well, let me tell you why scoffers scoff. They will say, these scoffers, where's the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. Peter said this, hey, listen, scoffers are going to scoff. Hate is going to hate. Scoffers are going to scoff. And why do they scoff? Because they appeal to science and the laws of nature. And they say, come on, since the beginning of time, the sun has risen and the sun has set. Come on, since the beginning of time, the tide has come in, the tide has gone out. Since the beginning of time, one season has followed faithfully after another season. And this talk of Jesus coming again, of Jesus creating a new heaven and a new earth, of Jesus restoring all things to himself, that's just the stuff of fairy tales. We believe in science, not fairy tales. In spite of the fact that science fiction often comes true, right? Anybody in here old enough to remember a time when if you want to talk on the phone, it was attached to a wall? And in science fiction, you saw somebody talking into their watch and using it as a phone? Everybody knows that's impossible. That'll never happen. Isn't it amazing? Scoffers say, you know, the thought that Jesus is going to come in and Jesus is going to wrap up all, that's the stuff of fiction, not science. And we believe in science, despite the fact that science fiction often comes true. But to the point, Peter says, scoffers are going to scoff because they appeal to science and the laws of nature. And the truth is, some of you might even be listening online. Some of you might be listening in the room and go, you know what? Actually, the scoffers have a point, Gary. Sun's risen, sun's set. Tide comes in, tide goes out. One season follows after another. It's always been that way. Always will be that way. Oh, there may be some super volcano that explodes and destroys the earth, or some asteroid that destroys the earth, but it does sound kind of like a fairy tale that Jesus is going to come back and Jesus is going to destroy heaven and earth and he's going to create a new heaven and new earth. It does kind of sound like science fiction, and we believe in science, not fiction. Before you go there, listen to what Peter says. Start looking at verse 5. You got your Bible open? For they deliberately, who is they? The scoffers. You know the scoffers are going to scoff? They deliberately overlook this fact that the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of. Say it with me. What? See, scoffers overlook the fact that there is someone who created the heaven and the earth, and his name is God, and he created the heavens and the earth by his, say it with me, what? Word. Ex nihilo. He spoke it into existence out of nothing. He said, scoffers who appeal to science and the laws of nature overlook this fact. God is the one who created the heavens and the earth. And listen to what he says next. And that by means of these, the world was that then existed was deluged with water and perished. God has suspended the laws of nature once before, stepped into history, and destroyed the earth with a flood. How many of you have ever heard of the story of Noah before? He goes, don't forget the story of Noah. Before you scoff, don't forget the story of Noah. But by the same word, the word that he spoke to create the earth, the word that he spoke to destroy the earth with a flood, he says, by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for, say it with me, what? Being kept until the day of judgment and destruction for the ungodly. This same God shall return, and he shall destroy all that we know and all that we see of this material world in a fire. Look at verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be, do you see it? Burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Jesus is going to come again. Jesus is going to destroy heaven and earth in a fire, and Jesus is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And here's something to keep in mind. The laws of nature operate by his word at his command, and God is free to speak a new word anytime he chooses. Amen? And Peter said, before you scoff, you really ought to keep that in mind. John Piper adds, the laws of nature are not a law unto themselves, existing independent of God. The laws of nature are subject to the commandments of God. Do you believe that this morning? Yes or no? So don't trust in the laws that nature operates by. Trust in the God who writes the laws that nature operates by. That's what Peter's saying here. So how should we respond to Jesus' declaration, I'm coming soon? Peter and Jesus and James say, don't scoff. Why should we not scoff? Well, because God writes the law, not nature, and because God keeps time, not us. Look at verse 8. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as, say it, one day, right? God has a different way of keeping time than we do. Do you get that, right? We got a watch, and it keeps time in seconds and minutes, and if you got a really fancy watch, days, perhaps even months. But God keeps time in eternity. God sees all of time, all the time, at one time. And God has created us in his image. And so God has given us an insight into how he keeps time. Let me give you an illustration from my own life. I know it's hard for you to believe, but I am 60 years young. I used to think people were silly who said that, and now that I'm 60 years young, I think that sounds cute, so I'm going to start using that. And I'm telling you, it seems like a very, very short time ago, when I was 6 years old, on horseback playing hide-and-seek with my mom and my dad and my brother and my sister, just hiding in the creek and just trees and just, it's an incredible, and it seems like, as a 60-year-old man, I'm telling you, that was like just a very short time ago. I'm telling you, it seems like yesterday that I first met Kim, and just a few moments after that we were standing at an altar and that I made a vow to love her and cherish her forever. It seems like a short time after that we were in West Texas
in San Angelo, and I was holding my first child in my arms. And a short time after that we were in Columbus, Georgia, and I was holding my second child and then my third child in my arms. A short time after that, it seems like we were attending their graduation. A short time after that, we were attending their weddings. And I'm telling you, time has passed in a blur. And I'm telling you, based on the authority of God's word, when Jesus returns again, the way God keeps time, it's going to be as if Jesus just arrived a couple of days ago. 1,000 years is a day. A day is 1,000 years. God has a different way of keeping time, and God is keeping time, not us. Don't count on your calendar to determine the date when Jesus should return, or even whether Jesus is running early or late, or if he should have been here by now. God is keeping time, not you and not me. God declares when it's time for Jesus to return, not you or me or someone's end time chart or some prophecy that some person predicted. The time of Jesus' return will not be determined by our charts, but by our Creator. Amen? So how should we respond? Peter says, by all means, don't scoff. Why should we not scoff? Because God writes the law, not nature. God keeps time, not us. And because the delay is driven by grace, not procrastination. Look at this, verse 9. The Lord is not so slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. When you think, wait a minute, Jesus said that he's coming soon. Peter said the end is at hand. James said the end is at hand. Why the delay? It's like 2,000 years have gone by. Listen, don't see the delay as procrastination. Don't see the delay as indifference. Certainly don't see the delay as if Jesus lied to you or Jesus was mistaken about what he proclaimed when he said, I'm coming soon. Understand, the delay indicates the grace of God. He is giving the maximum number of people the maximum amount of time to repent and place their faith, their trust in Jesus, and begin to follow Jesus as the Lord and King of their life. Some of you this morning are in that boat. Listen, Jesus has delayed his return so that you can repent and become a follower of Jesus this very day. Again, John Piper, the delay is meant to lead to repentance, not to unbelief. So enough about how we shouldn't respond. Let's talk about how we should respond. How do we respond to the imminent return of Jesus? Number one, live with holiness. Look at verse 11. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and goodness? You realize, right? This world is going to dissolve. All the stuff that you've put together, it is going to dissolve. The cars that you drive, the wardrobe hanging in your closet, those new clubs that you're so proud of, that diamond that is hanging around your neck this morning, nothing wrong with any of those things as long as you realize they're all just kindling for the fire that's coming. Amen? I'm telling you, I'm sitting there at my dining room table yesterday looking over my notes. And I'd written this sermon about 2-3 weeks ago, and I'd forgotten that point, and I just read a headline of some Hollywood star that is selling their home for like $45 million, and I just finished looking at the pictures of the house, and I was just thinking, that is a gorgeous home. And then I thought, I could work for 45 lifetimes, and I still couldn't afford that dude's house. And I'm getting depressed and discouraged. And then I read this point and I'm going, thank you, Jesus. That $45 million home's just kindling for the fire that's coming. How should we respond? Live with holiness. What is Peter saying?
He's saying, don't put all your eggs in the basket of this world. Don't store up all your treasure here on earth. Live a life of holiness. How does a life of holiness begin? Let me tell you, it begins by repenting of your sin and confessing that Jesus is Lord, God, and King, and you commit yourself to follow him and obey him. But then it continues by every day, entering into the presence of God and listening to the voice of God so that you might encounter God, and through an encounter with the living God, you are transformed. And then you begin to obey God in his commandment, the thing that he's commissioned you to do, which is to make disciples and to baptize folks and to teach folks how to obey all that God has commanded them to do. That's what it means to live a holy life. You become a follower of Jesus, and then you actually start following Jesus. How should we respond to the imminent return of Jesus? We ought to live holy lives. And second of all, we ought to wait with eagerness. Look at verses 12 through 13. Waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God. Do you see that word waiting? Waiting for, hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved. You think God wants us to get the point that he is going to destroy this world as we know it in fire? And the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn, going to destroy the universe as we know it in fire? But according to his promise, we are waiting. Do you see God repeating himself right here through his servant Peter? Waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. What God is saying is he is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. This heaven, this earth is a shadow of that which is to come. It is not the superior, it is the inferior of that which is to come. And in the new heaven and new earth, we are going to have glorified, physical, immortal bodies. What does that mean? It means we're all going to be forever 21. I don't know about that. That could have been Gary, not God. I don't know. Sometimes I get, never mind. Just scratch that. But it means we're going to have glorified, immortal, physical bodies. And this new heaven and new earth is going to be the Garden of Eden spread over the earth and the universe. And it is going to be beyond imagination. I do a good number of funerals, and I've started just kind of adding this thought in just pretty much every funeral I do. The dirty little secret that no Christian wants to talk about is most of us don't actually want to go to heaven. Just hell sounds worse. So we go, I guess. Yeah, I want to go to heaven, but not yet. Because we think heaven is going to be boring. We don't tell anybody that. Certainly if you're a preacher, you don't say that or admit that from the pulpit. And we think, man, you're going to be this disembodied spirit floating around on a cloud, listening to elevator music. I hate elevator music. If you love it, God bless you. If you write it, I'm proud of you. I just don't enjoy it as much as I should. And I don't even like it for five floors, much less for eternity. And that's heaven. Well, you got to admit it's better than hell. So I guess I want to go to heaven when I die, but not yet. But here's the thing. We have the wrong view of heaven. Heaven is going to be this incredible adventure. Kim and I got to go to Colorado this past summer, and we were in Durango and Purgatory, and just south of Purgatory, there's this hike up this mountain called Castle Rock, and you just hike up to the top, and I mean, it was the hardest hike that I've ever been on, and Kim is like dragging me up the mountain, and I'm like, no, let's go home, you know, and we make it up to the top, and I'm telling you, that's a road down there, and if you see, there's no cars, but if you could see a car up there, you could see it, just the camera's not picking it up, but they look like little bitty Hot Wheels just rolling down the road, and I'm telling you, it's one of the prettiest sceneries I've ever seen in my life. And here's what I believe. Heaven is going to be filled with hikes and views and vistas and skiing.
And I'm going to barefoot ski in heaven. I am. I can't even slalom anymore. It's sad. Did I mention I'm 60 years kind of young? And I'm going to ski in heaven, and it's going to be an adventure. And I believe with all of my heart, think about it, new heaven, new earth. It is an earth, and this earth is just a shadow of that which is to come. I'm going to hike up some hike. I hope, I pray Kim is there with me, even though we won't be married in heaven. But I pray that Kim is there, and I pray we hike up Castle Rock or whatever, and we'll be looking and we'll be going, man, Castle Rock was cool, but it doesn't hold a candle to this view. How should we respond to Jesus' declaration, I'm coming soon? We should respond the way John responded on the Isle of Patmos. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Would you just respond like that with me right now? Let's just make that response together. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. So how do we respond to this message this morning? Here we go. Three quick things. Number one, make sure that you are headed for heaven and not for hell. Make sure that you are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. How do you do that? By repenting of your sin and placing your faith and your trust in Jesus. We would love to talk to you about how to do that. You can go back there, just kind of hang around. We're social distancing, but hang around that Next Step room and we'll connect you with a minister. We'll figure it out, right? We'll figure out a way to share the gospel with you this morning and help you place your faith in Jesus. If you're watching online, you email us. We'll sit down. We'll talk to you about how to place your faith and your trust in Jesus. That is the first thing that I encourage you to do in response to Jesus' declaration, I am coming soon. Second thing, stop dreading the return of Jesus. Stop getting lost in the mark of the beast and Armageddon and keep your eyes on Jesus. And if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you'll find yourself praying what John prayed. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. I want to be with you. Finally, until he comes, live in light of his imminent return. By living a holy life and by living on mission with Jesus. And the mission is making disciples and baptizing those who are becoming disciples and then teaching them how to obey all that God has commanded them to do so that they and you and I might experience the lo, I am with you always presence of God. For when we encounter the living God, we don't go away unchanged. We are transformed. And everyone else who encounters him is transformed as well. So may we pray, come, Lord Jesus. Will you pray with me as Richard comes to close out our service? Lord Jesus, we love you. We love you. We love you. We thank you for the very clear declaration that you are coming soon. May we make certain today that we are citizens of your kingdom. May we keep our eyes on you, and may we, in response, live with holiness and live lives on mission this week. I pray it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Hey, as we're about to dismiss, I just want to remind you what Gary just said a couple moments ago. If you want to talk to someone today about your relationship with Christ, I'm going to encourage you, do not leave this place without doing that, all right? So the best way to do it is just go to the Welcome Center or go outside to the Welcome Tent or the Prayer Tent. We'll have people there that can talk to you about your relationship with the Lord. Now, if you came today prepared to give, or if you're online and you want to give, we want to certainly give you that opportunity to do that this morning. So the best way to do that is go to theheights.org/give. You can do that if you're at home. You can even do that if you're here. You can give your gifts online. Or if you would like to give a check this morning, we have offering boxes in the back. So when you leave the worship center, you can just drop those off. You'll see those in that little aisleway when you leave the worship center. So next week, we're going to continue this Questioning God series. And Brian is going to preach on a subject that is probably one of the most pertinent subjects around today. And so I don't know in the course of my life if I've ever seen racial tension as tense as it currently is in our landscape, right? And I think all of us can probably agree with that. And so next week, Brian is going to address that. He's going to address racial tension. And really, how do we look at that? And really, more importantly, what does the Bible say about that? So we're going to take a biblical look at racial equality next week, and Brian's going to lead us through that. So totally invite you to come, invite you to bring your friends. This is going to be a very significant subject that is absolutely timely in today's climate, and we would love for you to be a part of that. So if you're visiting with us online or watching online, we're so glad you've come, and you're dismissed.
Well, hey, we trust that the Lord met you in a very personal and practical way today. We are so, so thankful again that you took a few minutes of your time to join us online. We believe this is just the beginning and that what happened today doesn't have to stop. And so whether you're a first-time guest or whether you call the Heights home and you just want more information or to stay updated, you can get information on our social media at Heights People, or you can go to the website, find more information and details. If there's any way we can serve you, we would love to do that. Feel free to reach out. We'd love to be a blessing any way we can. Thanks, friends. Blessings.